So this morning we're going to carry on with Carpe Diem, and good. Thank you. Someone's ready to Carpe Diem and seize the day. And my key text that I've used all the time, Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully in how you walk. Be aware of how you're walking through this life. Not as unwise, how are you doing? But as wise, how are you doing? Making the best use of the time, and we explained that. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I think the will of the Lord was expressed so many ways this morning in worship, in the prophetic words that came, in the readings. And I just really preparing, again, I just felt the series has a definite progression of some practical steps or handles, as we often call them, that we can take hold of in order that we can carpe diem, that we can seize the day, that we can move and walk into 2022. Now, everyone has been very gracious to me, but my wife and daughter, every time I get home, said, Dad, you kept saying 2020. And I mean 2022. And seize the God moment. And often we know what we should be doing, but we just don't get around to doing it. And I want to help us today to get there, to understand it's all aboard, we're all together, we're all going. We started off, it's green. And if you missed it, you need to go online and listen to it. And then we said, well, it's green now. We got rid of all that stuff. I trust we tried and made an effort. We got rid of all that stuff. Now we get to choose joy. Because with all the old 2021 and 2020 stuff in our lives dissipated and gone, and we're in 2022, we get to choose joy. All our old habits, our old history, and our old hurts, we get rid of that stuff and we live in the freedom. Why? Because we sang it so powerfully this morning. All my life, He has been faithful. He is so, so good. And our situations are different. He is faithful, doesn't matter what's been happening. If you're feeling alone, great testimony, Lorraine, He is faithful. If you are financially bereft, He is faithful. Well, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Trust me, I do. I don't have time, and this is not all, oh shame, it's all about the pastor. I can tell you days in Canada where we had no food in our fridge and no money to purchase food. But He is faithful, and He sent angels to our doors without us complaining or moaning about it. So today I want to talk about, let's get organized. Isn't that a great picture? Let's go the next. Yeah, there we go. Some of you are in the blue. That's what you look like, your life looks like. Some of you are like Jessica. I don't know, there she is. in the yellow. If you don't know how to organize your life, take an hour and spend it with Jess. She'll help you. What I'm trying to clarify here, when I say let's get organized, I mean according to His will, not mine. What my organization looks like, yeah, I know, it's all about self. It's all about me. It's all about how I'm going to do this. You need to learn to organize. You know, we said get on the train. The train is moving. Well, you need to find your seat on the train, as it were. And we need to believe that there is a God, always a God, and there is always a God way to do things. Well, God doesn't let us know how to do that stuff. Trust me, in His Word, He does. And how we're supposed to live our very best life, not just for Him, but just our very best life that He has for us. As Jesus said, now if Jesus said it, then we get to say it. Not my will be done, Father, but Your will be done. And we have to sometimes get our place to that. You know, Some of you know this, and a lot of motivational speakers say this, but this Henry Ford, I don't know if he was the originator of it. If you always do what you always done, you'll always get what you always got. And I know Stephen Covey says it, and ABC says it, and DEF says it. So a lot of people say this, but it's a great concept because it's not a new concept. It's a very old one. And if you understand, and if you ever did Basics 101 with me in a Connect group, you will see that the Israelites had a life cycle pattern of going around and around and around all the time. And the first time they went around and they said, oh, this is no good. And the Lord said, okay, I'll send you some judges. And then they went around and around and said, okay, we don't need a judge, we need a king. And then they said, okay, they went around and around and around. They said, no, that's not working either, we need prophets. And they went round and round and round. And even when they crossed the Jordan and got to Gilgal, this was their round and round again. So this is not a new concept. And the point I'm getting is that they kept doing the same thing and getting the same results. Now Jesus arrives on planet Earth and commences his ministry with, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, whatever version you like. And that repent, metanoia, as we've explained many times before, means change your mind, change the way you do things, change the direction you go in. And that's why repentance is so much deeper than, I'm sorry. Yeah, can I be so bold as to say, often saying I'm sorry just doesn't hold any water anymore? Because we say, oh, I'm sorry, and then we do the same thing again. That's just that. If you do what you always done and you always get what you always got. Thank you. We got to go in a different time. And then and often in the Gospels, it says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then from that time on. And it says from that time on. And the gospel that Jesus came to bring us was saying, you don't have to live like this anymore. There is a new way to live. And if you would take yourself, because you're king or queen on your throne, and take yourself off of your throne and put the rightful king on your throne from that time on. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because there's a new way to live. We have repeated the concept of people wanting to be the king of the time all the time over these last 3 weeks. And a couple of months back we preached. Jesus is not just our Savior. Oh, he's Savior, and I'm waiting at the rapture bus stop for him to come and take us all home. No, he is Savior, which is a good thing, trust me. He's also your Lord and your Master and your King. He is the King, and we get to live in the glory of his kingdom. Isn't that a beautiful thing? One of my dreams through this Carpe Diem series is that all of us would step into the glory realm of all day, every day, we live in the more of God, the more of God, the fullness of His joy in His presence that would come to us naturally as breathing or brushing our teeth or getting in the car and driving your car. It's an automated natural thing. Living in His glory realm and living in His joy and His peace and His love and His grace and His kindness and His so goodness should be a natural thing for us. Not something that we negotiate or we have to strive for and hide and try and get hold of. Here's another thought if you haven't had it before. God is not holding back. He has given us everything we need or desire to live a completely fulfilled life. He gave everything. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of this marvelous glory and excellence. He has given us everything for time and godliness. And when it says there, He has given you more and more grace and peace, well, you just said He gave us everything and now there's more and more. No, He has given us everything. It's your revelation when that arrives. Your sins weren't forgiven on the 21st of January 1984. because that's when you came to the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Your sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago at Golgotha, on Calvary. That's when your sins, you only came to the revelation and realization of that. And then I found Jesus. No, he found you. Grace and peace are given to us as a gift, and they are multiplied to us as we have a deeper revelation and a deeper understanding and a deeper knowledge of him. And that knowledge is not just the word gnosis, which is just the knowledge about. It is the epigenosis, the knowledge of who he is by his nature, his character, everything that he has for us, his identity and our experience in him. I don't know about you this morning, but I experienced a deeper welcoming of the Holy Spirit this morning as we worship. But you only get that if you seek that. It's not just about knowing God, but actually to know him, a relationship. Then we will have a revelation that he has equipped me with everything that I need to live a godly life. Then we will have that revelation. That will become an awareness to us, an opening. This last week, Lorraine had a revelation. She's not alone, because God is faithful. He's always been there. But in our humanness, sometimes we allow our emotions and our feelings to overtake us. And you know, sometimes you've got to learn those lessons yourself. Doesn't matter how smart the preacher is up here, what he's saying. You have to get that in that download, that imputed righteousness thought feeling to yourself. We have the divine power, the same divine power that God had, that Jesus had. He has given that to us, and we've been called to it. However, if we have built up roadblocks and say, well, God, you can't get into that part of my life. Or, Lord, you can't have that piece of me. That's my piece. We will not live to our fullest and most potential life in God. C.S. Lewis says this, human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something else other than God which will make him happy. And that could be a number of things. That could be your home, your car, your career, your bank account, your spouse, your children, or your parents, or, you know, pick something. I will find joy in that. I know in summertime, we will find joy if we go to, what's it called, Wonderland, is that right? The water park thing. Wonderland, yeah. And get there, and then if you look at the size of those things, me personally, I'd be wondering. I'm not going up there. But anyway, we keep trying to find balance to our lives. Just to put the diagram up, please, Livy. And I've just got this thing here, your dreams and your behaviors. And sometimes we have hopes and dreams and aspirations. But the other end of the seesaw are your behaviors. And they never balance out. Well, I hope to be this and I dream to be that. I want to be the CEO of my company. Well, how many days have you missed work? Yeah, I know, quite a lot, hey. Do you put in extra hours? Really, you know, 8 to 5 or 9 to 4, whatever the case may be. No, that's me. You're never going to be the CEO, trust me. We got to put the time in and so that our behaviors change, metanoia. It's often, you know, with this unbalanced seesaw, what we really mean is, hey, God, I'll put you over there in this part of my life where you can make me happy. But this part over here, no, that's for me, God. Or the other one is, as a matter of heaven and hell issue, of course you can reign in that part. I don't really want to go to hell. But as for everything else, that belongs to me. The question is, Are you willing or have you surrendered all to God? Are you all aboard? Are you on board? It's green. Choose joy. Let's go. Get organized. Now, I'm using the message for this next set of scripture because it just puts it so beautifully for us. Romans 13, verse 11. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. I'm running here, I'm running there, I'm putting this fire out, and you know, the old description, you know, spinning plates. Have you seen them in the circus? Trying to spin all the plates, and then you're spinning this plate, and the one's about to fall, and you've got to run over, spin that plate. And I'm telling you now, when you're running around frantically like that all the time, you're exhausting yourself in trying to figure out your day-to-day stuff. And if I may be bold to say, some of you, your days are just too full. You've lost track of what is important. You've dozed off as and you've become oblivious to God. Hello, it's green, all aboard. And when we're running and spilling the plate, I know it's somewhere here in my notes. What suffers the most? I'm just too tired to go to church. Or I've got another assignment to do. I can't go to make it to church. Or I've got this. I can't make it to church. I've got this thing to do. I'm just too tired. Young people, you think that you never get tired. And you stay up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. I know I probably shouldn't say this on camera, but I'm going to. I love UFC. I did martial arts in the background. I love watching UFC, except that the main big fights are all at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then on a Saturday night into Sunday morning, and then to get up and be half awake, half tired, to come and try and give my best, A, to God and to you, is not an option. It's not negotiable. And so I forsake that stuff. And I don't want you to look at me and say, oh, you're a hero. No, I'm not. The point I'm trying to make here, we have to prioritize and put things into place. Verse 12, the night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. Are we even in the faintest ideas know what God is about and what he's doing? God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgences. Things that tickle my fancy. Things that, well, it's all about me and how good I want to feel. In sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Reminded me of us preparing and reading that. You know, who saw Finding Nemo? Seagulls. Man, 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 man. Yeah. Frivolity and indulgences. This is mine. It's all about me. What he's saying is, come on, wakey, wakey. Take note of what God is doing. The night's over. You're oblivious of what's gone because you're actually running yourself ragged and exhausted. You're fritting your life away on frivolities and indulgences. Now, I'm not saying don't have fun. Please, the pastor said we can all have to have fun. I didn't say that. Have lots of fun. Laughter is a good thing. It makes you... What's those things inside of you? Endorphins, yeah. Laughing a lot is good. 2022, a year of great joy when we realize the battle actually has been won. But every now and then we are called to fight some little skirmishes in our lives, some little issues that come along. The moment you put God at the center of your life, you will have great joy. The moment you put God at the center of your life, God first. I'm sorry to harp on this, and I know some of you are I'm not a sentimentalist, so this is easy for me. If it's my birthday and we have a prayer meeting, I'm going to the prayer meeting, and then we'll celebrate the birthday afterwards. If it's my wedding anniversary, I'm going to the prayer meeting first and then I'll celebrate that afterwards. A friend of mine in South Africa, before I've told some people the story, before he brought an elder on to the team. He wanted to see what his commitment to the team was. And if you lived in South Africa, you will know that rugby is the first god probably in most issues, like hockey in Canada. And so he would wait for a super big game to be on. And then he would call the potential elder and say, listen, bud, we have an issue. We need you to come and pray with us. Knowing that there's a big game on. I'm there. These are the days before PVR, by the way. So it's just sometimes, you know, the Bible says, test their heart, test them with stuff before you appoint them. There are moments and decisions in 2022 to be made. I feel like Bon Jovi, you know, living on a prayer, and we're halfway there. That sucks. I want to be all the way there. I want us, all of us, to be all the way there. And we can still live on a prayer. And we can actually be praying together and connecting together. But I want us to be all the way there, not halfway there. Verse 14, get out of bed and get dressed. I love the language of the Message. What did he mean by that? Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Some of you are still very last minute people. Duct tape mentality. Yeah, just put a piece of duct tape over it, it'll fix it. No, it won't. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Come on, put on the righteousness of God, the garment of righteousness, put on the garment of praise. Get up, get dressed yourself in Christ, and you'll live the life that you're called to live. The very best life that he has for you. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I was reminded when I was preparing this thing of the prophetic word that I brought in the beginning of January, and maybe some of you missed it. But the point was that when we were in the military, they would take us on a Friday and say to us, here's your full gear, and we're taking our 20 Ks, and if you get back to camp on time, you can go on weekend past. If not, so sorry for you. And then there were people along the way as markers, and as you got to the mark, they would say, okay, 12 Ks to go, 8 Ks to go. And when there was 1 K to go, by now, if you know, if you marched in full gear for 20 Ks or the 60 kilograms or whatever on your back, you're exhausted. I don't care how fit you are. And then when you had 1K to go there, you'd say, how far to go? And they'd say 5Ks. And then you saw the brain go crazy and the people just give up. And grown men, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, fall down on the ground and cry and perform and scream and throw a tantrum. And I'm encouraging you, don't give up. I know it's difficult. I know this whole pandemic thing and the rules and regulations. Don't give up. So I have some helpful handles or helpful hints, whatever you want to call them, for you to get through this thing and how we can organize ourselves. Number one, take charge of your schedule. Some of you don't even have a schedule. Some of you are wondering why we like, when last did you talk to your husband? Oh, I don't know. He came in, I left, and then he came in, and the kids were there, but then they weren't there, and then I left. And I, please hear me. I know what I'm talking about. I used to live like this. Left home before Louise was up, and got home after Louise went to bed. Horrible. Your life is out of balance because you're trying to get too much done. The result is that often it's the first thing that goes is your spiritual life because you're so busy being oblivious to God. There's too little of you grabbing at the too much of life. You're trying to burn the candle at both ends, and sorry for the pun on this one, and you know how that story will end, and you're not bright enough to actually complete this. Now we're burning both ends and Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after the wind. Are you just saying we should just be lazy? No, I'm not saying that at all. Often by nature, just we take both hands, and sometimes we like monkeys, we grab everything with both hands and both feet. But if you look down while you're in that situation, never look, and if you white knuckling it, is the expression, if you are like holding on for life and I'm doing this for life, may I strongly suggest you're already running on fumes. Your gas tank is empty already and it's just the fumes that are keeping you going. Don't prioritize your schedule, but schedule your priorities. Don't prioritize your schedule, but schedule your priorities. Some of you need to make some adjustments in this so that your priorities have precedence over your needs and your wants. When I was still in business, I know Bridget hates it when, but just to make a point, I worked horrible long hours just because I thought it was the cool thing to do, because I had a philosophy in my head that was an ungodly philosophy. The philosophy was, if I work hard, I'll get to the top, I'll earn more money, and I'll have a better life for my wife and my child. Sounds good, eh? But you've heard me say good philosophy is not always good Bible. Because I already told you I'd leave and she'd go to bed and then I'd come home and she's already in bed. And so I missed my daughter for a whole period of my life. But then I would sit and I would take the urgent, you know the difference between urgent and the needy. So whatever I thought was needy, I would take it and put it in a drawer. And then although I worked Monday to Fridays and never needed to work Saturday and Sunday, which was a privilege, I would then come to work on Saturday because I needed to deal with the stuff that was in the drawer. And then I'd work like 7 hours on a Saturday. So I'm already working 12 or 15 hours Monday to Friday. And then I'd take some home that I didn't finish and then work 4 hours on a Sunday. I know what it is like to be a workaholic. I know what it's like to actually not be organized. And then Jesus found me. Some of you need to make adjustments so that your priorities are precedence over your needs and your wants. You need to learn to invoke the big rock principle. And if you don't know what that, I don't have time for that, but you can come and ask me afterwards what is that. And make sure that the big rock that you put into the bowl first or the beaker first is the God rock. He needs to have priority. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your soul. But they say, we will not do it, or we will not walk in it. There's a rebellious, obstinate people already. Ancient paths. Well, what are the ancient paths? Well, those are the timeless principles that people I looked up to live by. One of my timeless principles was from my father was rather be half an hour early than 5 minutes late. If you're actually on time, you're late. Now, you know why we're here 4 hours before the service. I'm joking. Bridget had that one drilled into her even more. So in our family, we're never going to forget that. Timeless principles are how our grandparents and your great-grandparents lived life. And it worked out well for them. If you're not giving God first place in this, you're not living your best life. It's very quiet in here today. This is helpful handle. This is to benefit you and me. Putting God first should not be a negotiation, but an automatic function. God first, that's it. How can you do that? Well, just here's another helpful little hint for you. I didn't put it up on the board. But grab your coffee or your heavenly bean juice. And first thing in the morning, take 15 minutes. If you can give more, that's great. 5 minutes, read the word. That's worth a psalm. You can read a psalm in 5 minutes. Listen to a worship song, 5 minutes. Pray, petitions and thanks. Thank you, Lord. Lord, would you be able to do this? 5 minutes. There's your 15 minutes. Easy. Number two, guard what enters your mind and body. What you read, what you watch, what you take in. Learn to grapple with the non-God stuff, secular stuff. And I know some of you are already thinking, well, I can do what I like. Sure you can. 1 Corinthians 10:23 NIV says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. And you need to learn what is beneficial, what is constructive, what is helpful for your life. Psalm 141:3. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift towards the evil or take part in the act of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. You know, sometimes people are just floating along with life like this, like a duck on water. But man, if you just take a camera and go underwater or put a pair of goggles on and go underwater and watch that little duck, man, he is swimming as fast as he can. Those little legs underneath him, going up there. And sometimes we got to be like the little duck, smooth on the surface, frantic underneath, going for it. Number three, organize your finances. Oh, okay. Now you're messing with us and meddling with us. Once again, remember, it's for your benefit. These are helpful hints for your benefit to equip you. God's principle is give, save, live. In the parable of the two treasures, Jesus points it out very succinctly. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart is. Where your heart will be also. And the point is, if it's of value to you, you will put time into it. If it's of value to be in church, corporate together, you will make every effort to be here. If it's of value for you to serve others, these are all biblical mandates, by the way, you will serve others. If it's a value for you to pray, you will come at the corporate prayer time and pray. When these things are not values for us, the point is where you place your priorities. That's where your focus is. And that your whole being, and I've explained a number of times, where your heart is not just this thing that pumps, it's where your whole being is, where your thought process is, where your thinking is. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor God with everything you own. Oh, seriously? Give him the first and the best, and your barns will burst, your wine's vats will brim over. We don't give so we can get. We give because he says we should give, because that's good for us, that's healthy for us. And we give because we know and understand that when we sow, we will get to reap. You can't reap without sowing. Well, if I give tenfold, will he give me back 100-fold? I don't know. Probably with that kind of attitude, the answer would probably be no. And honor God with everything you own. Let it be a glory to him. Let his radiant presence radiate. Man, let me be silly. From your car. From your home. You know, when the pastors all used to get together and have an annual service together, the whole thing was to be a light on your street. Wouldn't you like it, supernaturally, if your lights were sort of extra supernatural bright? Simply because the presence of God is in your home. People would drive past, and like everyone else is at like 60 watts, but yours is like 100 watts. Wow, what's going on in that house? They got some big lights there. No, we got the same, 60 watts. And it looks like 100, yeah. Tithes and offerings, talking about finances, are two different things. They're not the same thing. It's not like two different ways to say something. This is not my original thought, it's Dom's, but I told him the other day, I'm going to pinch it because I love it. Tithes are faithfulness. Offerings are generosity. Offerings to help pay for this is generosity. Offerings to the poor is generosity. Offerings for a project we might have is generosity. Tithes belong to God. Organize your finances. We had a Connect group leader in South Africa, and he had a number of people in his Connect group. And they would come and say, "Oh, Gary, we're in trouble." I said, "Why?" He says, "Our finances aren't working out." And he would say to them, correctly or incorrectly, "Are you tithing?" "No." He said, "Yeah, no, when you're tithing, come back and talk to me and I'll help you out." Because in his life and his wife's life, they had proven that when they tithed, their lives came right financially. It's a principle. And again, please hear my heart. I don't know who tithes and who doesn't tithe. So I have no axe to grind with anyone. That's between you and God and the heavenly Rolex. Number four, live life with intentionality. These are just handles to help you organize yourselves. Being intentional means I have a plan and a purpose and I want to live according to that. You know, I started off with saying sometimes we know what we ought to do, but we just don't do it. Today is an opportunity to go home and say, "Well, Lord, I'm going to do this." Which means putting some disciplines in place. Circumstances do not determine what your life looks like. Your disciplines determine what your life looks like. Remember that aspirations, hopes, and dreams, and your behaviors, you want to balance that? That's got to be in line with what God is saying. We are not a product of our circumstances, we are a product of our disciplines. Still very quiet. I love you guys. Thank you. But yeah, you keep thinking. Proverbs 20 verse 4, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Wow. Now, these aren't my ideas. This is what the Word says, God's Word says. This is the right season to carpe diem. This is the right season to seize the day. This is the right season to get on board. This is the right season to let go of old habits, old hurts, old history. This is the season to actually choose joy. This is the season to organize your lives. If we don't put in disciplines, there will be no fruit in our lives or no vine in the harvest. It's five rules of grace, I call them. Remembering not all day, but every day. Just do these five things every day. Spend time with God in prayer. Study God's word. Love those closest to you. Make a difference in someone else's life. Take care of yourself. So, in closing, how do we live out these handles? You know, while I was saying this, I also came to a revelation of this, that Moses also wrote a psalm. What? I know, you're thinking that. While he was leading the Israelites through the desert and the wilderness, and it came upon him that human life is so fragile, he prayed this prayer. And you can go and read the whole psalm, that the prayer that he prayed is just one verse of it. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I know the older you get, the more appropriate that seems to become. That, like, I'm old now, I should be really thinking. The younger you are, you think you're made of steel. Nothing can touch me. The reality is some people have an inherent wisdom, but most of us have to be taught and learn it along the way in life. We started with Ephesians 5 when it said, look carefully how then you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. You get to choose. Before you jump, how high is this cliff? Oh, it's 2 feet. Yeah, I can jump. Oh, it's 30 feet. I'd suggest you don't jump. Find another way off the cliff. It says, so teach us means that wisdom needs to be learned. It often isn't automatic. Well, I'll just get wisdom. And there is such a thing as godly wisdom that he gives us. So, three principles of wisdom. Number one, know your purpose. Psalm 139:16. I saw my unformed substance in your book, were written every one of them the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. I think Lorraine alluded to that this morning. God already knew what he had planned for you. He already knew it. He wrote it down in his book. Before you even formed, he already had a purpose for you. Now, everybody likes to quote Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, for you declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's all very good, and it's true, and it's helpful, but I also want to encourage you to go and read verses 5 to 10 before that. Because some people like to take scripture out and then make it mean something for them that it's good. But if you look at the whole context, you will understand that there's some instructions and disciplines that God puts in place before he gives them this promise. Purpose to live your life differently to the way to you are living it now. Number two, have a plan. Organize your life with a plan and a schedule. And some will be very good at it. Some might be a little OTT, over the top with it. And some will, I don't know. I told you, go see Jess. Proverbs 17:24, the discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And you can't sit down and eat a whole elephant at once. One bite at a time. Number one, know your purpose. Two, have a plan. Last one, have accountability. Without some form of accountability, you will hashtag fail. Well, we can go back to the other one. I can do what I like. Sure you can. I don't have to have accountability. Sure you can. We want to take hold of the wisdom and the power of God, not my human steps, but God's steps of faith. I'm afraid. Yep. Most of us are afraid of change or hate change. God is there. All your days he has been faithful. He is so, so good. I'm afraid to change. Good. Get accountability with someone and let them help you walk it through. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. I would encourage you today, carpe diem. Take hold of the day. Take hold of these little life lessons if you want. It's green, all aboard. It's green. Choose joy. Number three, organize yourselves. Get organized. If you've never been organized, I know some of you are really organized. Trust me, I know that. I'm aware of it. Sometimes if you look at my desk, you'll think, wow. But trust me, I know where every piece of paper is on that desk and where it's meant to be. But to the untrained eye, what is that mess on your desk? I know where everything is. And then sometimes Bridget gets it into her head to come and tidy my desk, and then I'm freaked out because now I don't know where any of the papers are. So we've learned enough in life now that she doesn't touch my desk. Because otherwise, it could take me the next 3 hours to find out where's that little piece of paper? She says, oh, this one. She knows where it is now. Anyway, bless you. Michael's going to come and close off.
Good word, Mark.